The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday, July 10th. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code HOWIEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word HOWIEBOGO. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me today. It is July 5th. We are live. I hope everyone had a nice July 4th with your families and you were able to celebrate. Get outside a little bit, disconnect, enjoy the weather, and we're back. We're back. We have a big show planned for you today. A lot of great stuff planned for this week. A lot of great guests lined up. It's a short week, so we're going to pack a lot in. And we, as always, we're just so grateful that you're joining us and listening to the program. If you want to weigh in, the number is 844-500-4242. The big story of the day, and it's a very unfortunate way to start the week, is there was a lot of violence over this holiday weekend. There were 71 people shot in Chicago, 10 people shot in Boston, just a lot of carnage all around this weekend. And the horrific shooting that occurred in Illinois, six people are dead after a crazed gunman hid out on a rooftop and sprayed bullets into the crowds. They were watching a July 4th parade. The video I saw, there was, I think it was a marching band or, you know, a group of kids running through, and then everyone started running. It was mayhem. Really upsetting. I know everyone is really angry about it, as they should be. These people were there to celebrate, to watch the parade, to show their kids a little bit of Americana on the July 4th weekend, and a mentally disturbed person just wreaked havoc on all of the people in Highland Park. The shooter has, and I'm not going to say his name. I've really been going back and forth on that. There's all sorts of debates whether or not, you know, some people say, oh, you should say his name because then it really shames him. I don't think giving these nuts attention is ever a good idea. And I am noticing, especially over the last couple of weeks, that these things tend to have a copycat effect where these crazy people must see this stuff. And I once heard from a friend that people who are mentally disturbed like this, they have a hard time distinguishing between good attention and bad attention. Like, it's a very thin line. And I don't want to give anyone who thinks they're going to get attention from something horrific like this any sort of more motivation to pursue these types of terrible crimes. But he had as most of these shooters do, he had a very bizarre social media history, a lot of strange posts, which we will get into, kind of a on all sides of the political spectrum. And I think that this really drills down on the fact that it is futile to focus on the perceived political leanings of these nuts. It really is just a way for an already very divided country to politicize things. And I say that, and I know people are going to say, well, the right politicizes it too. I think we all have to drop this idea of, oh, well, was the suspect a white man? Oh, he was a Bernie bro. Oh, he was a Trump supporter. And of course, you know which one of those two the media is going to run with. If they think it's a Trump supporter, it's going to stay in the news a lot longer. And that's shameful. Because all of this is tragic. All of this should cause outrage. It shouldn't just cause outrage if they think he liked a tweet 3 years ago about Donald Trump. That should not be the litmus test for whether or not you're going to spend coverage on one of these stories. But he had a very bizarre history. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also the mayor of Highland Park, Nancy Rotering, said, I saw this morning, she was on with Hoda on, I think Hoda's NBC, and she was talking about this shooting, and she said the gun was legally obtained, but she didn't know where the gunman got it. Now, that's kind of a hard thing for me to wrap my head around. I actually called Toby this morning. I'm like, how does that work? You know it's legally obtained, but you don't know where he got it from. Now, this is a developing story. I should say that right off the bat. We're getting a lot of information as it comes out in the news, and we're going to keep you up to date on everything we have. So I'm sure there'll be more to that, but, and please be patient with me on that front. But as always with these kind of tragedies, there was an immediate push by media figures, by Democrats, to pin this on a lack of gun control in this country. And the obvious rebuke from Republicans, which you don't have to be, you know, incredibly into politics to figure that this was going to be the response, is that Illinois has some of the strongest and strictest gun laws in the country. And they also have red flag laws, which we hear a lot about. That's what this, in this new bill that's being pushed by the senators, like it's a bipartisan to a degree. Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney are some of the Republican senators who are signing on with this. Red flag laws are a big part of that. They think that this is going to help prevent these kind of atrocities. And in a state where they have all of these, it doesn't seem to be working. Now, there is an argument that I see a lot from Democrats, and we can get into this today. Well, if you are able to get the gun in another state that has no laws and bring it into a state, then those other laws, because they're softer, if that's the word you want to use, on guns, they allow people to easily access them, and then they can bring them in. Now, there's two things I would like to point out about that. And David Harsanyi has a really good piece. I'll link it today. It's an older piece, but it kind of breaks down this myth, because he says in every state there's a level of gun control. Like, don't believe that thing about it's easier to get a book than a gun, as Obama once pushed. And now we're hearing the same thing about, I saw Katy Perry today with a brilliant political analysis, or maybe she put it out on July 4th as a, you know, patriotic woman that she is. She said that Firework, her song, came out 10 years ago, and now women have less rights than sparklers. So that kind of rhetoric, that hyperbole, that doesn't make any sense, to me, does a disservice to people who are actually trying to have a intelligent conversation about what's happening. So to jump to these things, well, you can get a gun easier than you can get a book. Now I know you have no intent on having a serious conversation. And so the problem here with the argument about, well, people can just bring it in from another state, well, that is illegal to do anyway. So right there, you're breaking the law. And people who, I do tend to believe that people who want to break the law, people that are going to climb up on a rooftop and shoot at people, are going to find a way to do it. And there are plenty of people who would say, no, that's not true. If we just add more laws, Illinois just needs to add a few more, or we need to add laws across the nation, nationwide laws, which there are plenty of those as well, but let's add more. And that's a conversation that people are going to have, and I understand that. But I do tend, and as I watch these, and I really think about it, I'm not set in my ways when it comes to these issues, because my heart breaks, and I see it, and I don't claim to know everything. But the more I see of it, the more I think, well, this person clearly wasn't concerned with the laws in any state. And if we've got someone who's on social media posting, you know, videos or cartoons of him being shot by police and posting about Lee Harvey Oswald and saying these things about school shootings, and no one says anything and no one brings it to the attention of the cops. And then in some situations, not this one, but in some situations, it is brought to the attention of the police and nothing's done about it. Those kind of things to me say, why are we focusing on what side of the aisle this guy falls on or what law he did or did not adhere to, instead of going back further and saying, what is this problem we're having right now? Because this is clearly, I don't think there's any argument that this is a mental health issue. And I saw a video today from the local news. It was actually a good interview. Someone went to this guy's uncle's house and was interviewing the uncle. And, you know, it's the same thing every time. It's, oh, we had no idea. I don't know if I buy that either. You had no idea? You saw this kid all the time. He was helping you move things. You knew what he did for a job. You knew him pretty well. He's your nephew. And there was nothing that ever came up to you or you said, this guy's a little off. That's a problem, too. These family units that kind of just don't seem to know what's happening. I remember we had a caller, and I'm sorry if I'm veering off here a little bit, but my mind's just going a million directions here. But we had a caller one time who said, when I was a kid and we were at the kitchen table, my parents knew if something was up with me, they knew if I didn't do my homework. And this guy was in his 60s. So it's not like he was talking about helicopter parents who were saying, you know, don't eat that, don't eat this. He was just saying they knew. They had a sixth sense for what was happening in their kids' lives. You know, if you were in a weird mood, if something was up. And I do think that that's going away. I think communities are kind of disregarding people if they think they're crazy. Because it's a lot easier to go, oh, that guy's crazy, and walk away than say, what's going on with him? And that kind of disintegration of that community aspect is a big problem. We're going to cover all of this. I would love to hear from you. I know not everyone's going to agree with me. That's okay. That's why we have this show. We welcome you to call in. 844-500-4242. And another thing I just want to point out is that on days like today, where we have a lot of violence to cover and it's heavier, we are going to have lighter moments in this show. We do want to make people smile. We do want to bring some joy. But another thing, and I've talked to the mailroom manager about this, I've talked to Howie about this, is sometimes I struggle on these days if I have Toby planning to come on, because I never want it to seem like I'm being insensitive to what's occurred. But the more I've thought about this, and unfortunately it keeps happening over and over again, the more I think it's actually very important to have Toby on a day like today. Because whether you agree with him or you vehemently disagree with him and you want to tell him why you don't think he's right and why this law could have stopped it or why this needs to happen, that's all productive in my mind, to have a conversation rather than say, I don't want to upset people, so we'll just push it off a week or 2 weeks. This is the day to have him on, because if you think you have the answer, if you think that he's wrong, now's the time. You have a voice. You have a way to express it here at the Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242. Very excited to talk to you guys. I know it's been a while, so we'll be right back. We'll take your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. A lot of people on the lines that want to discuss this. And the number, if you want to join, is 844-500-4242. Let's go to the callers here. Madison, you're first up on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for calling in, Madison.
Hi, Grace. And with all due respect to your opening monologue, I have a little bit concern about the broad stroke of these shooters, these killers, are a result of mental illness. And I have an advanced practice license in psychiatric nursing. So I see patients on an individual basis, as well as in groups. Statistically, many of these shooters have been shown to have underlying cognitive difficulties versus mental illness. And to make that broad stroke puts that stigma on people who have depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and they are people starting to hide in the communities.
Yeah.
And not wanting to come forward to talk about their diagnosis, and they want to keep it hidden. And because of that, we have very, very strict laws. You can't email a patient without an encrypted email. And those records are protected. I just want to put out there that there are many people who have mental illness of depression, as I said, anxiety, panic disorders, from a variety of different life events, from hereditary, you know, the history of depression.
Yeah.
Most of the...
Sorry,
go ahead, Grace.
Sorry, Madison, hold on one sec there, because I think you make a really, really good point, and I totally hear what you're saying. And actually, Toby, a few weeks ago, said the same thing when he was talking about red flag laws, and he said, sometimes I worry that if we put in this idea that if you have a mental illness of, you know, anxiety, depression, that people are going to be afraid to come forward and explain that out of fear that their rights will be taken away or they won't be able to, you know, use their Second Amendment rights. And I totally understand what you're saying. But just for the audience, Madison, go into a little bit more of what you mean between the difference of cognitive impairment versus mental illness.
So the difference is that people who are diagnosed with mental illness, 9 out of 10 of them are usually high on the intellectual scale. And that they have developed problems from, again, from hereditary to work experiences, of course, the war veterans, or other traumatic events, rape, domestic abuse, etc. When we look at some of these mass shooters, these are predominantly, I think the latest statistic that I read was that 35% of these mass shooters are young males, disenfranchised, on the social media, being influenced because their lack of understanding of what is real and what's not real. And so they get into these web spaces that are just destructive, destructive to their minds, and they feel that they have a right to do something like that.
Yeah, I
don't see people, I'm sorry, you don't see the person, average person, and I can tell you that if you look around the street, 9 out of 10 probably are on a medication for depression.
Oh, absolutely. And Madison, I'm really, I know I've already said this, but I'm really happy you brought this up, because let me make that very clear to people, is that in no way am I trying to stigmatize people who go, I'm a huge proponent of therapy. I'm a huge proponent of, you know, seeking help, getting medication. I know from experience, I know from other people's experience, it's a very, very common thing. And a lot of people struggle and a lot of people find help. So in no way am I trying to lump in people with mental illness or, you know, who struggle with people who do these kind of things. All I was really trying to say, and maybe it was more of a verbiage thing, is that these people are clearly not well, and whether it be because they're being, you know, they're going on the web and or video games or, you know, all the different things that people start to talk about when something like this happens. Never my intention to paint with a broad brush or to stigmatize mental health at all. Really appreciate the call, Madison, and thank you for clarifying that. 844-500-4242. Let's take some more of your calls. 844-500-4242. The police are giving an update now on the parade shooting, and we'll have information for you on that. We'll be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are back with you. I'm reading this now that the suspect purchased rifle legally in Illinois. So there goes the conversation about him purchasing it somewhere else with more lenient gun laws and bringing it into Illinois. It also says it appears the gunman acted alone. There is a lot to discuss. We're going to get more information as the day goes on. We're taking calls right now. Let's go to Dave. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace, good afternoon. So I obviously don't presume to speak for you, and with all due respect to that psychiatric nurse, I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the privacy rights of somebody who's on antidepressant meds. We're talking about wackos like this guy, like the Uvalde shooter, who was posting this garbage on social media. You know, the FBI wants to arrest you for using the wrong pronoun, but they're not flagging any of this stuff like this guy and others, these most recent mass shootings. That's the kind of stuff that's ready. They're putting it on social media. So the information is there. It's out there. It's not a question of a HIPAA or anything else. It's a question of these three-letter agencies not doing their job, again, unless you're, you know, a Republican and you use the wrong pronoun.
Right. And with that being said, it is amazing what the FBI and what these agencies are able to track down when they want to, the work they're able to do when they're motivated. But like Dave pointed out, that motivation is only usually sparked if you think that you can take down a political opponent or you can weaponize your organization to maybe show up at Roger Stone's house in the middle of the night. There does seem to be this lack of interest in really utilizing all the technology we have to track these people down before something awful happens. And, you know, I want to add a little bit to what Dave's saying here and give everyone a little context as to what happened. There is reports that this person, this psycho's social media was very, very bizarre and very disturbing. I'm going to read you just a little bit here. Stay on the lines. He had posted a video to his since deleted YouTube page that included a drawing of someone who appeared to have been shot dead by police. He released a music video titled "Are You Awake?" He's a, you know, YouTube rapper, whatever that means, that included drawings of a man aiming a rifle at a person. The video also showed an image of a newspaper clipping about Lee Harvey Oswald and another image that shows a drawing with blood splurting from a person's body. A later frame shows police cars arriving as the shooter holds his hands up. In another video in which he appears in a classroom wearing a black bicycle helmet, he says he is like a sleepwalker. I know what I have to do. Everything has led up to this. Nothing can stop me, even myself, he adds. And every time something like this happens and we look at the social media posts and we see these pictures and, you know, these rantings of these lunatics, it does make you go, wait, all the technology we have, all of the ways, and I hate to simplify it, but this is just an example. Think about how your posts on social media can be so finely tuned to what you need or what you typically buy or what accounts you look at. It curates these ads and these posts for what you do online. I mean, the tracking capabilities, let's be honest with ourselves, that big tech has, that these government organizations and agencies have, is beyond a lot of our comprehension. So the idea that these people are posting this and no one raises a red flag or no one has the ability to stop these, and I know some of them, you know, it's kind of one of those things where when they are stopped, we don't hear as much about it. But I agree with that last caller that these are things that when you look at them, you go, whoa, how did that not get through on anyone's desk? Ronnie, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking the call. And thanks, as always, for very fair discussion about, you know, complicated stuff like this. You know, me personally, like, no one caller is going to get to the heart of this in one call or even you in one show. But one of the things I noticed from 30,000 feet is that all of these shooters are very, very young, either about to graduate high school or very recently. And it occurs to me that it's this generation of kid that's the first one to be indoctrinated with extremely hard left-wing ideology from elementary school right through to high school. And a lot of these kids graduate convinced they're not even going to see 30 because the climate's going to destroy the planet because of evil people like you and I, Grace. And that's what these kids come through an entire school system believing. You know, like, I don't know how many of my parents or, you know, friends that are parents say, man, my kid came home and you know, all of a sudden they hate themselves, they hate their country, you know, they hate everything, they think that we're white privileged people and blah, 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 blah. It's like my kid's a whole different kid. And it kind of reminds me of like The Sound of Music, where when you first see Ralph, he's dancing with Liesl and they're happy, but then the Nazis get a hold of him and he's a completely different person that you don't recognize. So many parents across the country are noticing that exact same kind of like rabid change in their children, where they're zealots that are being filled with this crap in school, and they end up hating themselves, and they end up hating anybody that thinks differently than they do. And they go on to commit these horrible atrocities, all of them so young. And it wasn't like that when I went to high school in the 80s, Grace.
But Ronnie, I do want to, I do, and I understand your points, and I think there's parts of it that I agree with, but I do have to push back, because this is something that goes far beyond, and trust me, no one hates the left-wing ideology being pushed in schools more than I do. You can just go to any of my columns over the last 2 years. I've written plenty about it. But this isn't something I don't think that can be brought out by a liberal-leaning school system. I think this is something that you either have evil in your heart or you don't. And the reason I say that is because, trust me, I went to private prep schools, and, you know, woke as they come, and I've known people on both sides of the aisle, and I'm very right, very conservative. And I know people who are very left. I don't know anybody like this. I don't know anybody who has this kind of hate in their heart. And that's something that I think we all as a nation need to kind of take a step back and say, this is beyond, I agree or I disagree with you on this. Could it help if we had a society that was more open to discussion and less open to just judging and pointing the finger? Yeah, but that's always been the way it is. You know, I think it's amplified more now because of social media. You see it more, you know, you have access to it more. But this gets to something else. This is like something that's a core of a person. I mean, there's a lot of people who are on TikTok, the libs of TikTok, who have, you know, blue hair and tattoos and whatever. That doesn't mean they're ever going to do anything. That doesn't mean they're ever going to have this kind of hate in their heart. That's a whole different beast, in my mind, at least. And I actually want to read you one thing here. Howie had sent me this earlier. It's from Zero Hedge, but Ian Miles Chong wrote, I think, and he says the killer's name, I think this killer is a psycho. He planned it all out to look like he's both a Trump supporter and a Biden supporter. He's got everyone squabbling over his politics, but at the end of the day, he killed innocents and represents no one but himself. And that's the part of what Dave's saying that I want to add my voice to, which is he doesn't represent anybody but himself. I don't care if he liked a Joe Biden post. I don't care if he liked the Donald Trump post. This guy represents himself, and he's a terrible, terrible person. And it might seem like, well, that doesn't give us enough. You know, that doesn't make us feel like we can blame enough people, but you should be blaming him. And I don't think, you know, trying to look through this guy's social media post, look through the social media post beforehand. If you think you can stop this guy, if he's a nut, absolutely. But afterwards, if you're looking through them to try to find an answer, oh, he believed this that I don't believe, so that's why he did this. Yeah, now we're kind of getting a little, I don't really go for that. Joe, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, I talk about this with my wife and a few friends of mine, and it's a part that our good friend Jeff Cooney hits on a lot is tolerance. And it's funny because it almost happened with you a little bit with the previous caller, where you had to kind of backpedal a little bit because you didn't want to seem intolerant to other people who are suffering from viable mental health issues. So when people are putting these things on their social media, no one wants to look like the insensitive, intolerant person that's going to question this person's beliefs, because after all, isn't he entitled to those beliefs? And if he isn't, then we're being intolerant. And that's the circle we're in.
Yeah, and you know what, Joe? I think you are hitting on something where there, you know, it used to kind of be, and you can use this in a lot of different circumstances, where there's always that old adage of see something, say something. But quickly, see something, say something meant see something, be afraid that you're going to offend someone or that you're going to step on someone's toes or that you're going to say something intolerant. And so don't say anything because it's probably not worth causing any commotion. And I do think there is a little bit of that at play here. But I would, again, I know I'm pushing back a lot today, but I would push back and say, if I see someone posting Lee Harvey Oswald clips and, you know, talking about how it's his mission, or I got the phrasing wrong here, but all of these kind of things, I don't think anyone's looking at that going, well, you know, that's his right to, you know, feel the way. I think everyone, especially right now in the current atmosphere we're in, knows that that's a time where you have to report it, I would hope. Jim, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Grace. I would just like to juxtapose that a bit with the overprescription of psychotropic drugs within the general population and how that is a newer thing in our society. It hasn't been that long, 30 years, 40 years. And I'm sure that if we look at all these people that are committing these horrific crimes, there's a lot of mental illness, and it'd be interesting to see what they've been prescribed.
Yeah, but Jim, and I don't know enough really about the medical side of this, but I know we've had people call on my show before who say that they either have, you know, a brother or son or someone in their life with who struggles with mental illness, and they got on the right medication and it really did improve their lives. And now they live very stable, happy, functioning lives. So I don't think we also want to make it seem like
the medical side of this.
Oh, sorry, Jim, you got to turn down your radio. I don't think we also want to make it seem as though it's the fault of medication, because I think for a lot of people, medication is the thing that saved them. Oh, we lost Jim. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll keep taking your calls. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate all of you calling in and weighing in on this. It's a very serious subject, and you know me, I much prefer to have a little bit of fun to keep things light, but it's an important conversation, so we're going to keep having it here. And we will have Toby Leary at 2 o'clock, and he'll talk about this as well, and he can talk about it with far more expertise than I can. 844-500-4242. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he is the best at what he does. I love everyone at Perfect Smiles. Lori, who cleans my teeth, she is fabulous. She will keep you laughing the entire time. She is so funny. I tell the mail room manager, I go, I never in my life have been so excited to get my teeth cleaned because this woman is just a ray of sunshine. And then you have Stephanie, you have Dr. Houghton who comes in and he makes sure your teeth are perfect. They really care about what they do. They really love what they do, and they'll treat you like an absolute VIP. So it's a new year. You have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. Don't wait. If you've been hearing me talk about this for years and you've been putting it off, now is the time. They're conveniently located right off Route 3. They have plenty of parking, and you can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. While you're at perfectsmiles.com, you can also check out the video testimonials. And if you want to see Howie smile, that's where you'll find it. That's perfectsmiles.com, perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. Call in, weigh in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Stay on the lines. We'll get right back to your calls. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's in more trouble with the woke crowd, Bette Midler or Macy Gray?
I will get into what both of these women said over the weekend that's causing such a stir on social media. They got a lot of backlash from the woke mob, which is strange, especially from Bette Midler because she is very woke. But they basically were challenging the gender ideology that is the only acceptable ideology now on the left. And they started to receive plenty of feedback. Let's call it feedback instead of backlash from the left. I'm going to say, though, based off the comments, which we'll get into later, Macy Gray is in more trouble.
Macy Gray right now in the poll is in trouble. She's only at 46%. Bette Midler is at 54%.
If you had asked me if we were going to talk about Macy Gray today, I would have said no. But I'm always happy to talk about Macy Gray because maybe we can play some of her music. I like her raspy voice. Bob, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to bring up a point that I don't quite understand. Where do these kids get the money to finance the weapons that they buy? Those guns are expensive, and the ammunition is expensive, and you have to practice with it. It's a perishable skill. You just don't pick up a gun and go out in the street and start killing people, especially in large numbers. So I don't hear many people talking about that, and I know that the one guy, I think was from Uvalde, he was a part-time fast food employee.
Yeah, and this guy was too. This is I don't mean to cut you off, Bob, but this shooter from this situation in Illinois was a worker at a Panera years ago. I think he got laid off and he was home, you know, during the lockdowns. But a lot of people did ask that question after Uvalde. I saw that a lot on social media from people saying, you know, he had weapons that cost thousands of dollars, was unclear where he got the funds for that. And there's this big conversation happening as well about buying weapons online. But what people kind of miss a lot, and Toby can talk more about this in the 2 o'clock, is when you buy it online, you pick it up at a store and you still have to pick it up in person and have a background check. It's not like you buy it online and it comes in the mail. You're still going to the store and picking it up in person. But I think it's a really good question, Bob, and I'll be curious if we get any more answers on that. We are finding out more and more about this person. Some of his family members, at least I saw his uncle, did an interview. Very strange. The uncle, you know, claims he had no idea that he never had this man never had any signs, which again, challenge on that. I don't believe that one bit. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace, how are you? So I grew up with my brother, my elder brother, who was my hero. And then he always shows signs of, you know, psychosis, you know, torturing animals, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And we got him the right medication. It turns out he is schizophrenic. However, often mental health people, that they don't like to take the medication because it makes them feel lethargic,
yep,
this, that, and the other thing. And as a matter of fact, when our father died in 2016, he stopped taking the medication, and then he's hearing things in his head. He stabbed our stepmother violently 26 times. She survived, and it's just it disheartens me. Because I think there are signals for people, and like Ronnie said, too, mental health, it's a big part of this issue. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Dave, I have a question for you. Did you feel, and I'm so sorry about that whole scenario, but did you ever feel like you had a solution that you could find if it got out of your control? I think a lot of people have this in their lives and they don't really have a place to turn to if they have someone who's struggling like that.
Yeah, no, I did. And I emphatically told or requested my stepmother, do not bring him to the funeral for our father. I mean, because he was very tight with him for a time and I could see my brothers twisting about, he blamed my stepmother for our father's death, but that's not even the case.
Dave, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing. We'll be right back with more of these calls. Sorry to cut you off. We're running out of time. This is the Grace Curley Show.